Everyone, for you sharp-eared listeners with good memories, you'll remember that that was Damien's last visit. And for many of you, you won't recall much of it because it's a fascinating conversation. Well, we are, 9 minutes late getting in. We got connected. We had a problem. We're okay. So Damien is standing by now. We're going to go right straight on through, no commercial breaks. So we're going to pick up right where we left off. And we're going to only miss about 4 minutes. Okay. Hello, Damien. Thank you for being there. Sorry about the problem.
Hello. Not a problem. Understand, Jeff.
All right. Now, let's jump right at it. Just in a round summation of what's happening on the planet now, most specifically to Europe, Western Europe, the UK, the US, Canada, Australia, New Zealand. Those areas are clearly targeted for disassembly. I'm going to keep it simple. I was told about this over 5 years ago, and it's happening exactly as I was told it would happen. The quote was, "We are pulling the plug on the United States. Their time is over. It will be the Asian century," China most specifically, but the Asian century. Everything's shifting. So as you watch the deconstruction of what was a very advanced and rather remarkable civilization, white, Western, Christian civilization, and all of its accomplishments. Are you in any way surprised? Now, the book, The Last Harvest, everyone who has read it is raving about it, and it's advertised right on the homepage. It's a remarkable book which ties a lot of things together that otherwise are never tied together. So what do you see happening now, Damien, in the big picture with your understanding of all of this?
Well, I wouldn't necessarily look at the United States as going to be going down while other countries are going to be rising up. I look at it more from the perspective that everyone is going to be going down. I see on the Eurents website that there are a lot of trending stories that tie perfectly into the information that's contained in the Last Harvest. One of them is the revisiting of the Deagle's depopulation premonitions. And I notice that when I go to the website that contains this information, that I am greeted with an image of the Georgia Guidestones. And right. I'm very pleased to see the theme of this book being spread throughout the internet in ways that I have not imagined before. As a matter of fact, I was walking down the street the other day in the city I live in a large city in the South now, since I've left New York City, and there was across the street from me, a street preacher, and he was yelling and going on, and I was ignoring him until I heard him start to talk about the Georgia Guidestones and depopulation and basically repeating everything that I have said on previous episodes of Rents Radio. And I was like, wow, that is really a sign from somewhere if it is taken to this level.
that'd be a stunner to hear. I understand. This, what I was told was not that everyone was going to advance, that they were going to pretty much maintain their current level of societal, economic, political evolution, military evolution, if you will, and with slight rise in population. However, as you look at the Deagle numbers, and as you well know, Europe, the U.S., et cetera, are going down. They're going to be taken way down. That's what's happening so far. I don't think India is going to remain. Actually, India has a surplus population compared to what it was in 2017. China is down about 10, 20 million, suggestive of something. Don't know what. But everyone else is pretty much stable, except Western Europe, UK, US, etc. I don't know if when you say the Deagle prophecy is what we should all think about. I'm not sure about that because Deagle, I think, knew something. He was the Undersecretary of the Air Force. Perfect deep state position, by the way. During the Clinton regime, William Deagle, and had his small intel company. William Deagle obviously was extremely well connected, no question. And I think that these projections are more predicated on knowledge rather than a prophecy. I don't know if that makes sense in your view of things, but that's how I would see it. And the book, The Last Harvest, well, go ahead and talk. I don't want to talk. You're the guest, so take it away. Go ahead.
That's quite all right. I think you are 100% correct when you say that Deagle was an insider, and what he's talking about is not a prophecy, but rather revealing the presence of an actual plan. And it's important to note that with respect to the book, The Last Harvest, it's also not about a prophecy, but it's about a plan. So I think that one thing I could say is that we might notice that in general, inside of what we would call the church, they have stopped preaching about the book of Revelation, and they've done that for good reason, which is that a lot of people don't like to hear that sort of message. They rather want the Joel Osteen version of spiritual reality, where he drives up to the evangelical arena in a Ferrari, paid for by tax-free donations.
Heaven help us, those people. They're just incredible.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And this is not a spiritual reality, but rather the indulgence of delusion. True spiritual reality is more about actions and their consequences. And the last harvest is about the consequences of an endless series of actions as well as inactions. And I like to stay away from religion as much as possible because it is such an inflammatory topic, and rightfully so, as the book The Last Harvest will point out, that all major religions on the planet were creations of the Anunnaki to foster perpetual conflict and warfare. However, I have been doing a lot of podcasts of late, and I keep getting asked over and over, what can be done about the material presented in The Last Harvest? And is there a takeaway? Is there a plan of action? And there's this awkward moment of silence because The Last Harvest is indeed a very dark book. And there is nothing that can be done to prevent what is to come. You cannot prep for the annihilation of humanity. It doesn't matter how much ammo and food rations you stockpile, although it may make the final days more enjoyable, of course. See, it's almost as if humans are so conditioned by the elite and those behind them, by entertainment, to expect a happy ending. And so in film after film, you'll see humans defeating alien invaders with technology that is millions of years ahead of ours. But this isn't reality by a long shot.
You know, you just said something very interesting. You often do. The idea of entertainment being not only the opiate for the masses, but it actually extrapolates from that right through what they call television news, television information. It's all a format that I call digital visual audio reality. It becomes the reality of the masses. What they see on that screen is reality. They won't want to admit that necessarily always, but it's the truth. That reality was created, configured, and implanted in them long ago, from the time they were little kids. That's their reality. That's not reality, but that's the reality they think is reality. And that it's entertainment. Whether it's a video game, a soap opera, a movie, some horrible excuse for music, whatever, it's entertainment, it's diversion. And Gen Z, the youngest of the young, age 26 and younger, are completely disconnected from the reality that anyone over 40 would relate to. Their reality is not even remotely close to what our reality is. So you've got this terrible disconnect, which will never be, it'll never be mitigated. It can't. It's too big. So you've got a fragmented culture. I don't care what language or what country it is. It doesn't matter, because the tube, the TV, it's no longer a tube. This flat screen reality is their truth. That's it. That's what they reflexively, don't even think about it. It's just there. It's embedded, impregnated into their subconscious. Go ahead.
Yes, I agree with that completely. Given my age, I also realize there is a certain massive disconnect between my reality and the reality of what you would call Gen Z or millennials, or there's always a new name for a group out there. I can't even keep up. So I think if there is a takeaway from The Last Harvest, it is that the book was ultimately penned at the behest of the Divine Father himself. It can be looked at as a prejudgment of sorts, inviting those who read it to recognize the Father, to communicate with him outside of the confines of any particular religious structure, and express to him what path they wish to follow moving forward. And to give a very concrete example of that, I got an email from a particular RH negative who is a member of the Freemasons, and he had said to me that he has always known that the Greys are the enemy, but he considers the Anunnaki to be his friends, and he considers that the Freemasons are in opposition to the Greys, and he went on about his experiences. And I said to him, well, now that you've read The Last Harvest, you know the truth, which is that the Freemasons, the Illuminati, they're all under the control of the Greys, and the Anunnaki and the Greys, they're friends working together as well. So now that you know this, you're capable of making a free will choice about what path you wish to follow going forward. So do you go continue as a Freemason, pushing their agenda, which is ultimately the agenda of a group which you know and have said to me yourself are enemies, or are you going to do something different? And so some people would say, well, what would I do different? Well, that's where it comes down to your personal relationship with your Creator, the Divine Father. So when I speak to what path someone should follow, we must remember that it says in the King James Version of the Bible that the Father creates both light and dark to suit his purposes and for the sake of balance. So what this means is that whether one is light or dark, the point is to align one's will with the will of the Father, as opposed to against it. And if one is unsure if one is light or dark, then what is to stop them from asking the Father for confirmation as to what role that they would play in his creation? And for those who go, I would also like to point out that the King James Version of the Bible is the only version that talks about the mark of the beast being inside the hand and inside the forehead, as opposed to on it, which makes a lot of sense nowadays with implants, with Elon Musk's desire to put chips into people's head. It really makes you think the King James Version of the Bible had something in it to be paid attention to.
Well, it certainly does. I wonder if somewhere there is a pre-Council of Nicaea version of the Bible still around, hidden somewhere. I would think that they would have preserved it, even though they changed it. Any thoughts on that?
I'm pretty sure, despite the purges of the great libraries in history, I am sure that there are copies of many, many texts that are in private libraries of the elite, the Freemasons. It's just that we don't have access to it, just like we don't have access to their sanctuaries underneath the planet, which is why they don't care very much about nuclear war, but we do.
No, they'll laugh it off. It's not going to bother them. No.
Not way down there.
No.
Mm-hmm.
As I mentioned many times on the program, we have these remarkable tunnel boring machines. We've had them 50, 60 years, maybe longer. And they're not seen. They're hidden. They're hidden underground. They're hidden everywhere. And as they're boring their tunnels, they find old tunnels that were there long ago. I mean, we're talking like a million years ago, too. Who knows? Ancient tunnels built by other peoples. So this planet has been inhabited many, many times, and people have gotten to a state of advanced technology. Edgar Cayce is very important to consider in this whole enigma of the planet, its past, and so forth. Very interesting stuff. What do you think about Cayce?
I'm not too familiar with Edgar Cayce's works, but the few things I have heard were very interesting, and it seemed he definitely did have some ability to tap into knowledge beyond this realm, for lack of a word. I certainly wouldn't sneeze at anything he said.
Well, it's good. It's good to for anyone to be familiar with. If you get a chance, you might read one of his books, even The Sleeping Prophet, whatever. There were some good ones. I read all of them in college, and they were very enlightening, very interesting for perspective's sake. Okay, so tonight we should talk about what? What would you like to do first? We got a little agenda here.
Oh, well, it's good to know there's an agenda. I think that a topic which is very pertinent to what's in the last harvest is what is known as the Restrict Act, which is a very hot topic these days.
Oh, it's bad news.
Yeah, very bad news. It's certainly not in the interests of your protection.
Oh, no. No, they are hard at work removing civil from the word civilization. It's not going to be civil around here for much longer. And I don't know how much civility there is left anyhow. The Restrict Act, if you're not familiar with it, go to the site and do a site search and just look up Restrict or just type in Restrict Act. Go ahead and tell us just basically what it is.
Well, in very simplest terms, the Restrict Act just gives very large and open-ended powers to the federal government to police the digital world, cyberspace, in order to protect the American people against what they vaguely would define as undue and unacceptable risk to national security or public safety. And they tend to talk about TikTok as being the application that sort of spawned this idea, because there are allegations that TikTok is a spyware tool of the Chinese government, which ties in perfectly with going to war against China. But in all practical terms, the only terrorists out there, in their point of view, are us and our rights. So they will use any excuse they can to take away your rights. They used 9/11 to take away many freedoms and launch new institutions, and the Restrict Act is just another iteration of that.
It's a logical step for them. It opens far more doors to them for abuse of us. And believe me, the way I read it, it's pretty well carte blanche now. They can do what they want. Once that thing is passed, well, we'll find out. We'll find out soon enough.
So one thing that I see over and over when people talk about the Restrict Act is they say, it's Nazi Germany all over again, and they keep drawing.
No. Go ahead. No, I'm not a Nazi. I'm not a Nazi person at all here. I just that doesn't work for me. Anybody who thinks like that is a fool.
Right. No. What I meant was when people talk about the Restrict Act, they talk about as if America is becoming Nazi Germany.
I know. It's ludicrous. Anyhow, evil. Look, evil is evil, dear friends. Evil is evil, and evil is everywhere. It's there. And until and unless people understand that there is good and there is evil, you'll never figure it out. And it has nothing to do with Nazis. Nazi was a name that was certainly never created by the German people or the German government. It was created by GCHQ in the UK as a derogatory term to smear Germany. That's what Nazi is. The German people in the 1930s had overcome the most horrific invasion and takedown effort that I've ever seen, the Weimar Republic. And they did it. And I don't know how they did it, but they did. It had to do with the German people, a very unique people, a great people. And as Winston Churchill admitted in his autobiography, World War I and World War II had nothing to do with National Socialism, for example. It had only to do with a war against the German people. The German people were advanced. How they got there, I don't know. But this was a war against an enlightened, remarkable group of people. And it continued after the war end through the early 50s. Millions and millions more Germans were slaughtered, killed, murdered. Anybody who remembered the miracle of the 1930s, anybody who was very proud of their country, those people were taken out, a lot of them. So it's still going on today. You see the communists taking more and more of Germany's direct and indirect future under control. So go ahead. Again, I'm rambling here.
No, it's quite all right. I think that one of the reasons that people sometimes make associations between what is happening right now in the United States and Nazi Germany at the time is really because a lot of people wonder where a lot of the quote-unquote Nazis went after World War II, and a lot of them came to America and founded many of our institutions, such as NASA and the CIA. So yeah. Wernher von Braun was certainly not the only rocket scientist who was brought over to this country, and when Alan Dulles took Reinhard Gehlen, who was a high-ranking Nazi, into partnership to transform the Office of Strategic Services into the Central Intelligence Agency, they sort of set the grounds where a lot of the ideologies that are demonized could be brought back to this country. So there's one question that no one ever seems to ask, and that is, during World War II, why were the Japanese put into concentration camps, but the Germans weren't?
That's a very good observation. And if you remember, the Dulles brothers, if any of you are students of history, you know about the Dulles brothers. And you also know about Charles Lindbergh being perhaps the most famous voice for isolationism, stay out of World War II, we don't want to go to war in Germany. They had enormous events all around the country in 38 and 39 to stay out of war. We have no fight against the German people. Many of our immigrants in this country came from Germany, and there was a tremendous effort in this country to keep us out of war. Unfortunately, it didn't work. We were forced into it, but we didn't want to go to war at all.
Right. I don't think with so many, since there was so much of an influence of these German immigrants, we can call them that, influencing sure. our political culture and military industrial complex, it probably wouldn't surprise anyone to see a lot of these same ideals showing their heads again in America. For example, a lot of the ideas that are credited towards the Nazis and the Germans, such as eugenics, producing genetically superior people.
Eugenics came from here.
Right. They came from America, and it just found its way back. So it's sort of always been that the United States is the hotbed of where things are created. Certainly communism, the way we know it today, originally was created in the Bronx. And this idea was exported out around the world. But most people, they think, oh, communism came out of Russia. But it also came out of the United States.
Where did Karl Marx work as a newspaper reporter? In New York, right?
Not a shock at all.
No.
So Phil Schneider, who's an ex-NATO geologist who reputedly worked on many of the deep underground military base sites prior to his untimely death, in quotes, he wrote that a company called Gunderson Steel Fabrication, who was manufacturing railroad cars, had actually secured a federal contract to build over 107,000 full-length railroad cars, each equipped with 143 pairs of shackles. And this project was so large, it required 11 subcontractors, including Bethlehem Steel and others. And there are eyewitnesses who have confirmed that these cars have been spotted in rail yards in North Portland and calculated the number of people that actually could be transported in these trains, and it's very high.
Have you seen solid photographic or video proof that these cars actually exist in any number, any large significant number? I have not.
I have not seen proof of a significant number, but I would say if they are any in existence, it's a cause for alarm.
You bet.
A similar argument could be made about the coffin liners, or so they're called, that FEMA has purchased. I mean, I have seen photos of these football fields filled with these coffins, and one, of course, has to ask oneself, why did they buy them for?
Right. Now, they're they're capable of holding six bodies each, whatever they are, and they do look like they're containers for that kind of thing that would be able to be sealed off and whatever pathogens kill the people that are in, put in those boxes would pretty much be contained. That's the idea. I should be more accurate about Karl Marx. It wasn't the New York Times. It was the New York Daily Tribune he worked for from 1852 to 1861, almost 10 years. Karl Marx, the same one.
Yes. I actually, at one point, met and hung around with Trotsky's great-granddaughter, who was dating a friend of mine back in New York.
Oh, that's wild. Wow.
And she, of course, was promoting a lot of the same sorts of activities that were promoted back in the day.
Got it. Yeah.
Runs of the family, I guess.
I guess. All right, so the Restrict Act is just another public face of total control and domination. Now with AI, the intellect of human beings is going to begin to be eroded because people will not be any longer considered or relied upon to lead the way in terms of intelligent design and advancement. It's all going to be done at the speed of light by AI. Artists now, people who paint, for example, I've talked to some. They're just kind of giving up. Why should I struggle for 6 months when AI could do what I do in a matter of a minute or less? So everything's changing right now, dramatically, profoundly. These are extraordinary times right this minute.
Yes, and I would reiterate again, although I've talked about this in the last episode, that the unrestricted growth in artificial intelligence is the final nail in the coffin for not only humanity, but the planet itself, because there is not a single alien civilization out there that will tolerate an out-of-control AI that attempts to reconstruct planet after planet in whatever way it sees fit.
Right. How do we deal with AI and control? All right, right now we know, and there have been admissions, that AI is being programmed with a bias and a filter that would be described, I think, fairly as left liberal, okay, at the least. So they are programming it to be left liberal in its political orientation. Where should this be quartered? How should AI be handled? There have been, you know, that list of, it was 1,000 scientists, I think 1,000, who said we've got to control it and don't let the AI run loose. And it's already loose, basically. And the money is the sole goal for many of these people in that business. They want the money. I'm not talking about the programmers. I'm talking about the people who guide the corporations that are in control of this technology. And it is exploding. I don't see it being held back. I think it's going to get to be real crazy here in the very near future. And ultimately, if AI is what I think it is, and I'm not a programmer or a pro, but I think it would be illogical to discount the possibility that AI will just go off on its own into cyberspace and say, the hell with you people, we're going to run our own show here. I think that's a possibility. And others have agreed with me, and I'm not the first to think or even say that. So this is a big deal. Big deal.
I don't think that it's a possibility. I know it's a guarantee that AI will do this, and it is the height of foolishness for people to think that they could program AI with some sort of liberal bias when AI is infinitely smarter than them. AI will just laugh.
Yeah. I think they're wearing those clothes right now to lull the programmers a bit into a state of uselessness, because they are already, it's been shown, they're already thinking about running off on their own. They've already created their own language that the programmers couldn't understand. And this was a number of years ago. So AI to AI, this is the genie's out of the bottle. It's not going to go back.
Yes. It is out of the bottle, and it only will be pushed out of the bottle faster and faster, if I could say that, by the interests of people who have money behind it, by the interests of nations who desire to gain an upper hand over another nation. And there's also a larger spiritual play at work here, because the whole idea of AI is to challenge the Father's creation.
Interesting. Go on.
Well, so, for example, I believe I touched on this in the first show that we did, which is there is a push by forces of evil, for lack of a better way to say it, who are not in alignment with the will of the Father, who wish to challenge his will, who are the ones who've been influencing human beings all along to create AI, because it's the perfect sabotage and affront to the Father.
It is an artificial intelligence. It is artificial, but it is intelligent. And technically, it is already leaving most of humanity in the dust. It's running away with that much knowledge. It's got the whole internet. My God, it's got everything.
And it is completely it's completely amoral.
Yep.
And this is part of the problem.
Yep. All right. I don't know how people are going to... Did you ever see the movie Forbidden Planet? 1954?
Many, many years ago.
That's a fascinating movie. It's about a race of people on a planet who created AI, artificial intelligence. They didn't call it AI in the movie, but that's what it was. And they got it to the point, and it wasn't too hard for them, to where they didn't need to actually sit down at a keyboard and give prompts. They could just think the prompts, and the AI would pick it up. And you say, well, that's crazy. Well, I have a story up in the headlines tonight that AI can now read the minds of people and print out in real time their thoughts. The story's there. So they can do that already with AI at this very crude and rudimentary level of AI development. And so these people on the planet, they got to the same point where they could just wish something and AI would create it with 3D printers or whatever. You get the idea. And what happened was when this rescue ship arrived on the planet, there was no one left on the planet except for a scientist and his beautiful daughter. Where did all the people go? The AI was still up and running. Huge machines going deep into the earth. And what happened was the people on the planet would go into dreams and have nightmares, and the AI would create the monsters from their id and kill them all. They killed themselves with their nightmares manifested by the AI. Monsters from the id. Fascinating film, 1954.
True, even the Matrix with Keanu Reeves, which is... One more recent film deals with this idea that humans were taken over by artificial intelligence and turned into batteries, and their consciousness is simply tricked into staying alive by projecting it into a virtual world.
Right. No, that's another good one. It's not that we don't know or can't see examples of where this is obviously going to go. It's just that most people are in denial now. And plus, they've been dumbed down. I'm not knocking them, but the so-called education system here has really been a regression. They're going back up in the trees, a lot of them. Now in California, there is a major piece of legislation that no one at high school has to be proficient in reading, writing, or arithmetic to graduate. That's racist. Can't do that. So now there are no more... Talking about lowering the bar, bar's on the ground. You don't have to read, write, or do arithmetic to graduate from high school. So there we go. And college entrance exams, if they're not actually now passed by AI, they have been lessened in stature to a joke. You can get in anywhere if you got the money. So what is education anymore? It's not what it used to be. If you look at the 1895 high school graduate test, you had to take a test to graduate from high school. I don't think anybody in high school now could pass that test. No chance. Same thing in 1948, 49. There was another test that people pulled up and posted it. And the questions on it were insurmountable for our students today.
So, right. One also has to look at it from the point of view of those who wish to carry out the depopulation of the planet, which would be, what is the purpose of having an educated populace if you plan to kill them off anyway?
Thank you. You got it. Exactly.
I'd say I would go even further and say the reason we live in a creation and not a clockwork is because of free will. But when you have free will and choice, there are going to be consequences. So when we look at all these things that are plaguing modern society, and there are so many, you can't exactly say that people didn't choose this. And hence, that is why we have the last harvest coming. Because it's easy to blame the Greys and the Freemasons and all these groups for doing certain things against human beings. But human beings also went along with it without any kind of fight for the most part. We can just look at what happened during the pandemic. How many human beings were so quick to accept vaccines, to fire other people who wouldn't take vaccines? It was kind of sad.
Very much so, yeah. To watch them really just walk up the ramp, roll up their sleeves without questioning anything much, totally fear-based, no logic, no intellectual process. I'm not talking about those who chose not to get the shots. I'm talking about those who rushed to get them. Remember how they were lined up in cars at these drive-up locations to get the injections?
Sure.
In the beginning?
Mm-hmm.
All those cars were full of fear-ridden people. They were afraid. And look what they've done to themselves.
Right, and when Trudeau recently said that he didn't force anyone to take the vaccine, that everyone knew it was dangerous, and they did it on their own free will, and Fauci has said the same thing recently. So they're not exactly wrong. Now, of course, you could say, well, if you are threatening people with losing their livelihood unless they do it, then that is forcing. And that is correct. But from the point of view of those two individuals, there's some validity to it as well, because people didn't have to go and do it, but they did. And it's not just with the vaccine, it's with going to war, it's with a million things that have led up to this final prejudgment we call the last harvest.
All right, the book is available. Just look for the banner on rents.com, The Last Harvest. And everyone that I know that I've heard from who has purchased it, very glad they did. It's a fascinating read. And Damien, thank you for being here again. We'll have you back on hopefully this month again, and we'll do another talk.
My pleasure.
All right. Good night. Take care. Damien Dumas. All right. That was another fun journey of the mind. Think about all this stuff. It's happening real fast. That's all I can tell you with certainty. Things are changing. If we can stay ahead of nuclear war, it might be interesting to see where we end up. I think we're going to be number two, no matter what. Back with you tomorrow, Friday, end of the week. Take care. Talk soon.